grieve me. All in life on you depends. Am I guessing that you love me? Dreaming dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you over again. I'm confessing that I love you over again. I'm confessing that I love you over again.
Manitoba Opera uncorks a season of romance, starting with the charming comedy The Elixir of Love. Playful imposters, mistaken love, and a magical elixir create an intoxicating delight when the lovesick Nemorino sets out to win over the smart and beautiful Adina. Overflowing with tunes to dazzle your ear and warm your heart. October 26th, 30th, and November 1st at the Centennial Concert Hall. For tickets, go to mbopera.ca. 2024-25 season is presented by BMO.
Winnipeg neighborhood Elmwood, and you're listening to UMFM 101.5 FM in Winnipeg. Thank you.
Disney on Ice presents Mickey's Surge Party. Get closer to the magic than ever before. Play along with the Toy Story gang. Explore the colorful world of Coco. Sail away with Moana. Soar to new heights with Belle. And journey to Arendelle to thaw a frozen heart. It's an all-out celebration at Disney on Ice presents Mickey's Surge Party. Tickets on sale now. Playing Canada Life Center November 15th through 17th. Visit DisneyOnIce.com today.
Love you. Okay, hello and welcome to Album Authority. If you heard, we're already bickering about something here, about the ad that played before and how long it took for me to figure out that they were talking about Frozen. Hello and welcome to episode, I think it's 34, perhaps 35 of Album Authority. Easily the greatest show in all of Manitoba. I am the one and only Album Authority, kind of unmatched. Sometimes I bring guests on the show. This is one of these times. I have a special guest, but I just want to remind you all that this is still the Album Authority, and it's still hosted by me, the Album Authority. And you may like today's guests, but they are not better than me. You should not take their opinions over mine. I am still the object of your guys' adornment and fascination. So please do not in any way like my special guest more than me. Today's special guest is, who are you, dear special guest?
Haley.
Haley of what? Haley is the former host of...
No, I'm here, and it's just me.
Haley was a former host here on UMFM for a little bit. Haley is also my girlfriend, and Haley is also my greatest enemy in the world, and consistently opposes me on everything in the world. So I have to bring them on here today for us to talk and probably argue a little bit about today's album, but really anything. And today's album is a band that, and an album, in fact, that I did not particularly like, actually. Haley can probably quote me on it, but I like to quote myself more because I like myself more. I said the first song that I will play sounded, quote, like haunted house music, and it sucks. And then Haley likes to add that I then played some, Haley says, Phoebe Bridgers type music afterwards. I don't think that's exactly the term Haley would use. Haley, would you use that term?
Yes.
Okay. So this kind of follows in a trend. Haley might agree that there's a trend here of Haley playing something for me and then me saying it sucks. And what do you have to say
about
that?
He glazes himself all the time, but he only listened to Phoebe Bridgers and Kanye before I talked to him. I'm not even joking.
Okay, sure. That ignores that my top artist was... Where are you going? My top artist was Radiohead before, so I at least had a toe in the pond, you know? I had like a foot wet in the water, you could say. Haley likes to say and act like they're the biggest shot here.
The indie boys staple. I like Radiohead. I bet I could get so many girls with this. They're going to think I'm so different on indie.
Okay, who...
Because I don't listen to The Weeknd.
Which man on the planet has thought that Radiohead was going to be a way to get girls? I don't think that's like a thing.
A lot is a thing.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
You have met somebody like this?
No.
You've heard of people like this?
Yes.
Okay, in what context?
When they were in front of me, we were having a conversation, like when you talk, and they told me this.
So you have met people like this?
Yes.
Okay, that contradicts the last thing you said. So, I have a list, and I'm going to ask Haley if they can try to remember what I said about each artist and why I didn't like them. This is like a lightning round. So number one, this is like a freebie. The birthday party. What did I say about the birthday party?
It sucks.
Okay. Susie and the Banshees.
It sucks.
I did not say it sucks. That is not what I said. You don't remember?
I just told you.
Okay. The Dead Kennedys.
It sucks.
That's not what... Deftones.
This sucks.
No specifics, just it sucks?
Yeah.
That is definitely not what I said. I know myself, I do not say... Just flat out, it sucks. I have to go on a long tangent about why.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, you stopped listening after I said it sucks, which is not okay, because I have a lot of things to say, and they're very important, and you gotta listen to them, because thousands of people here, thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, I think we're starting to reach maybe a million people listen to this show every day, and they love what I say, and you should too. I think the specifics for Deftones, that's the only one I can remember. I think I said that they yell too much. I think I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Haley said earlier. But
yeah.
Not, will not say. There's also another trend with my music listening in relation to Haley, which is that Haley does this thing, which I dispute. This is only according to Haley. I don't believe it's true, frankly. That they tell me to listen to something, and then... how long is it, you think, Haley?
Like a year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
Then a year later, I listen to it, and what do I do?
Say it's good, it's your favorite, it's your new favorite thing ever. But it was terrible a year ago.
No. I'm saying this is something you hadn't even told me. You hadn't even played for me.
Oh.
This is something you tell me to listen to.
Yeah.
And then I don't. And then a year, you said, later, I listen to it and believe it is something new that I've discovered. I don't know examples of this specifically because I think there's literally just too many to answer. I think Unwound was one of them?
Yeah.
Was that one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of more. Can't think of more. There's too many to listen to because, like, that's half of anything I listen to. Haley is a certified hater of the album Authority, frankly. Haley does not... I can look into their eyes right now, and I can tell that they don't think I should even have this show. They don't think I should be bestowed with the honor of speaking about my incredible music taste. Do you want to know... I think it was 3-4 days ago... Ooh, that actually, do you want it? That rhymes. What Haley said to me in the kitchen of my fantastic apartment. Haley said, are your favorite bands Creed, Nickelback, and Oasis? Did you say that, Haley?
Yeah, because there are. He currently has 5 stains on his shirt right now.
Well, I know you're staring at them.
And an ill-fitting wig that sits on top of his head, letting the rest of his hair out, giving the illusion of a receding hairline. Here he is on his throne talking about how great he is and all his fans. I invite you all to come here and give him a kiss right now.
Well, no, they're not. They're across the country. There's millions of people. Mm-hmm. If they come here, it would be a logistical nightmare.
This is the guy saying he's the best ever.
You want millions of people to swarm, it would be a stampede.
Mm-hmm.
People would die. For context, I am dressed up as Noel Gallagher. Haley is going as Liam Gallagher, and I thought they were going to dress up today, but they did not want to dress up on campus. But in spirit, you can picture us as Noel and Liam Gallagher, which may actually fit the bickering sense.
He looks like a narc or someone's uncle. I can't tell which one.
Maybe both?
Yeah.
Okay, I do kind of look like a narc, but in my defense, Liam is the recognizable Gallagher brother. I was dependent on you to be the recognizable one, and now I'm out here thrown, cast into the seas, just looking like a guy with a wig and 3, maybe 4 soy sauce stains, recently acquired soy sauce stains, on his shirt. So if you were Liam... If you were dressed up as Liam Gallagher right now, it would be possible for people to know that I was Noel. They would pick mm-hmm. it up. But unfortunately, we don't live in this timeline. You're just staring at the soy sauce stains. Okay, so today's album is The Birthday Party. It's Hee Haw. Spotify's wrong. It says it comes out in 1979. I don't think it does. I think it comes out later in like the 80s as a compilation. I usually don't do compilations, but I didn't really want to do a birthday party record because they're just hard to find. You got to go on YouTube, and I want to avoid listening to music on YouTube if I can. So we're playing Hee Haw, and you all can deal with the problems. Here is Mr. Clarinet, which is the song that I said sounded like Halloween music and sucks. I did say it sucked. That one, I did in fact say that. That was Mr. Clarinet, the friend catcher, waving my arms, and Catman off of Birthday Party's something something year, I can't remember, compilation. Hee haw. Haley, which one of those four songs would you say is your favorite?
My favorite gotta be Waving My Arms. That's a good one.
Thank you. I think the... Was it that one that I said was Haunted House music?
Yes.
Okay, that's what Haley told me over the break. So I want to ask you about the Birthday Party here and how you would fit them into wider goth as a genre. Because what interests me is that... So this they start as the Boys Next Door, right? Is that the name?
Yeah.
And their first album is like 77. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 78, I believe.
Have you listened to that first album?
Yes.
Would you describe it? Would you describe it as a goth album or more of a post-punk album? What is your...
It's goth because punk just wasn't even done yet. It can't be post-punk if it's still going on.
No, punk was already happening by then.
Yeah, so it can't be post-punk.
Well, no. No, post-punk isn't like a time thing, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Joy Division is 79 and punk's still happening, so it's still... But that's still post-punk.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it like a goth album, or is it more... Like, where do they... Because here's the thing,
like... It's a punk album, I'd say.
Where do they fit in goth music? Because would you consider the Birthday Party a goth band at all? You would?
Yes.
Okay, wow. I actually didn't think you were going to agree there. I thought you were going to... say no.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so if they're before, when do they start to be more of a goth band? Is that, do you have a time point to?
When do they start? They started with their first album.
No, like, when does their music become more goth as opposed to punk? Because you said their first album was more punk.
That was Boys Next Door, but when it was the Birthday Party, okay. That was goth since the beginning until it ended.
Okay, so the Birthday Party then is goth. But if they're... When does it... You know when it becomes the Birthday Party from the Boys Next Door?
1979 or 80, I believe.
So that means they're goth before almost anyone else is a goth band, if you consider them a goth band. Because
yes.
Because Bauhaus comes out or starts in 79, right? And then they... I think In the Flat Field comes out in 80. So if goth starts in like 79... And the Birthday Party is releasing music in 78. Does that kind of not make them one of the first goth bands? Because I've essentially constructed like a chronology here on the show for this goth season that kind of starts with Bauhaus. And I'm interested in seeing if maybe this chronology... And I think Bauhaus is generally kind of considered like the starter goth music. Like the first one?
Yeah, I think there was more, and I think the Birthday Party is an example of this. They weren't like that huge, but there were smaller bands doing the same thing that all the bigger ones were, which remained uncredited. And I think, well, the origins of punk did not start in London. It started in, I don't remember where, outside North America.
Punk as a whole.
Yes, but, and the same thing can be applied to goth.
Where do you think punk started then?
I don't remember.
Because doesn't everybody say it's English?
Yeah, it's not, though. It started in, I don't remember right now.
Okay. That's interesting, because the Birthday Party, for those who don't know, are an Australian band. I think they did move... To London
because that's where it was happening, but it's so bogged down by a million other bands who wanted to be goth and punk and all this that they did not have much of a chance, which is why
they weren't a very successful band,
which is why it didn't last very long.
Yeah, they weren't a very, like, they didn't have a lot of success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't have Nick Cave didn't really see success until after the Birthday Party. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
What does Nick Cave do right after? Does he go right to the Bad Seeds? I don't really know my Nick Cave chronology.
Yeah, basically.
Hmm. So you would tie not only goth, but punk as a whole and kind of that milieu of music to outside of England and outside of the time in which people kind of usually say that, like for goth, for example, started. So you would say that if anything, these have more complicated origins than we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting, because that kind of just completely like destroys the chronology that I've set up, because I was thinking about it when I was looking at the birthday party, and I was like, oh crap, if this band is before Bauhaus, I've completely not constructed a very accurate like timeline for my goth music here. Have I told you about, what do you think about them as like a subcategory of goth? Like, is there anywhere, what do you even think about subcategories of goth? Like last week I was talking about this Polish band that Rate Your Music called Death Rock, and then I had to like go down a rabbit hole of what Death Rock was, and which is, I guess, a subcategory of goth.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about all of these like debates in music and music like fandom of people arguing about what something is and what it isn't in subcategories of genres? Do you have thoughts about this?
Labels are arbitrary, and I feel like they distract you from actually enjoying what you're listening to, because you're too focused on, oh, he did this, it does not fit into this label or the set expectations I had for this subgenre, therefore it's bad, or therefore it's actually this genre and I don't like this genre, so I don't enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole point was that it was counterculture until it became, you have to fit into this subgenre and this label and do this. Mm-hmm. And then it's, at this point, it's kind of just nonconformist resorting to conforming to nonconformity.
Yeah.
Which I think is very counterproductive and doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah.
Do you think there's some degree, though, to which labels, like genre labels can and subcategories can be useful to, like, understand music and influences and kind of, like, where these things connect to each other? Like, is it the whole issue of subcategories of, or, like, subgenres? Or is the problem just people who over, like, religiously try to apply and fit these, like, albums in boxes or whatever?
I think it's, well, there's a problem with fitting them in boxes, but also, like, the labels just do not exist. And I think that critics or people or whoever who think they're, like, know a lot because they know all these labels or whatever, I think they should put their energy towards memorizing actual important things, because nobody is impressed that you know all 30 subgenres of some, I don't know, like metal genre or punk genre. Nobody cares. And you don't look any smarter.
Wow. I think some, thankfully I don't know every subgenre of these things. This is not a way in which I delve, but you know, the attack on music critics feels pointed here. It feels personal because, as we know, I am kind of one of the foremost voices in music criticism right now. And it's kind of, you know, I feel really personally hurt by this. Feels pretty rough. Would you say that I'm kind of the exception to the rule here, that the album authority is really pushing something new and modern, that people can really change how they understand music? Or where would you lump the album authority into this?
I think
he, of course, not me. I'm, or me, but like, you have to speak of the album authority as some,
you
other
are different because you have a sort of incestuous love with yourself, it sounds like.
Is it incestuous if you love yourself?
Yeah, because you sound like, well, I don't even know, I can't even say it because it's not appropriate, but this, yeah.
I feel like there's like an, I'm almost like having an intervention here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, growing up, everybody tells you need to be yourself. Everybody tells you you need to be confident. And then I come here and I am myself. I'm proud. I'm proud of who I am. I'm confident. And now I have an incestuous love of myself.
Confidence and arrogance are two different things.
No, those are synonyms.
Mm-hmm.
I Google them right now. They're synonyms. And if Google doesn't tell you, we all know the kinds of things that Google, you know, Google search engine's getting pretty bad nowadays with these AI answers. You know, you look up, oh, how many rocks?
Pull up the dictionary.
How many rocks can I eat a day? Who keeps paper dictionaries on hand anymore?
Probably you.
Me?
You look like you do.
Right now or specifically in general?
You look like you keep, like, a pocket dictionary on you, I think.
What about a pocket Bible?
No.
I don't look... Like, me, is it my person or my outfit right now?
Your person.
Okay. So this is personal.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to resolve some things here in couples therapy, but...
I don't. He does.
No, then it's not couples therapy. Who would be the couple?
You and yourself.
Oh, I have to go to couples therapy for my love of myself?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Because, really, I think it's... It's not myself. You see, the album Authority and Cooper, right? The Cooper that you know, are two different people. They're two different entities. And to some degree, they overlap, but they're not the same. Like, the album Authority... Oh.
What?
You're going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for you.
The album Authority is not Cooper. Cooper is not the album Authority. Cooper doesn't have the power of the album Authority. Cooper doesn't have the voice of a nation that the album Authority possesses.
BPD era.
Is that BPD?
Yeah, like, wait, what's your other personality? No, that's going to take over
I
next.
I thought that was multiple personality disorder. I'm Googling BPD.
You're the same person.
Oh, it's borderline personality disorder.
Yep.
It affects the way... Wow. Are we getting diagnosed here in the middle of album Authority? Borderline personality disorder is a personality disorder characterized by a pervasive long-term pattern of significant interpersonal relationship. What does that even mean? Instability. I didn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
A distorted sense of self... No, that's nonsense. I have a completely grounded sense of
that's
myself.
That's what they all say.
Who says this?
All the BPD girls I know. I love them all, by the way.
You love
them?
If
you're a BPD girl and you're listening, I love you so much.
Shout out to all the BPD. I don't think BPD girls really listen to the album Authority.
They totally don't, but if you know one, tell them that you love them.
They should, though, because I think we have a lot in common. Me and the BPD girl. He's not in diagnosis. I don't have any sort of mm-hmm. issue. If anything, like, everybody else has these issues and I'm kind of the one person who doesn't in this way. It's really interesting. I've kind of realized this lately. It's
mm-hmm.
been really fascinating. But shout out to all the BPD girlies listening out there. And for all of our BPD girlies out there, I really hope that today you've learned about a conflicting story of origin of goth music and how perhaps the traditional narrative of goth music starting in the early 1980s, maybe late 70s in England, maybe a little bit warped and changed by the existence of The Birthday Party, which for all of those who forgot is the album and the band which we are covering, the album being Hee Haw, a compilation of theirs, still released in some year in the 80s. I honestly have not looked at it, and Spotify lies. Back into the album with A Catholic Skin.
We'll be right back. pressure. Hard to guess to a safe. A howling gale, dirty weather, hanging around to lunch. It's an absolute dawn to get the tips of your toes wet, to be suntanned, your skin's peeling, to build some castle.
That was A Catholic Skin, Riddle House, Faint Heart, and Death by Drowning. Thank you, Haley, for not watching any more Marmot videos. We appreciate it here on the program.
Mm-hmm.
I think marmots might be one of my number one favorite animals, like, of all time. If anybody listening knows me, which only a few lucky souls do, the rest of the millions of people in this on listening right now don't know, but marmots are like the top animal of all time. Like, I think cats are up there in top three. Everybody loves cats, but the thing about cats is they're honestly starting to get overdone. Like, I'm kind of tired of these things. I've seen enough of them. Marmots, and especially Himalayan marmots, are like these beautiful fat creatures in the Himalayas that are like people. Like, they walk around like people, and they push each other like people, and they get washed like people. All these people stuff that they do, I really love it. What do you say about this, Haley?
I agree.
Yesterday, me and Haley were...
Tell me 10 fun facts.
I don't have 10 fun facts. Number one, they're fat. Number two, they walk around. Number three... If you hold a little cracker above their head, they push each other. Number four, you can grab them. Number five, they're fat. And when you grab them, they're a lot of fat. How many is that? Is that five?
I think.
Okay, that's it. You said five fun facts.
Imagine if you ask someone to name 10 facts about you and, like, 5 out of 10 of them were you're fat.
You're fat and you walk.
Yeah, it's you're fat, like...
Okay, well, I don't know these marmots personally. I don't know them as people. Like, I'm sure I would love to get to know them better. If any marmots near me can You sent me another marmot video. If any marmots near me...
Because it's him with the babies. He's like fighting his babies.
Okay, I'll transcribe these two marmot videos. Number one, the marmot video... is the marmot eating like... You know, like, what do those cats eat? If you go to, like, Cleopatra, they give you, like, these
like
little...
Yeah, I know. Like, what? Slime.
Slime. It's like a little slime stick, and he's too small, and he falls over, and he's still fat. And then the other one is a larger marmot... fighting his children, like, they're, like, rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half of my feed now is just marmot videos, because I love these creatures. Yesterday, me and Haley were looking at the Winnipeg bylaws of what animals you can and can't own, and I like how specific they are. I remember you cannot own a aardvark, you cannot own all non-human primates. What else was there? Do you remember any others? No marmots.
No elephants, no giraffes, no rhinoceros, no hippopotamus, no polar bear, grizzly bear, or black bear. And no venomous reptiles or reptile adjacent, and no, what else? Oh, no, like, mountain lions.
No mountain lions.
Or cougars.
No servals.
Or bobcats or all those guys.
No, like, non-house cats.
Yeah.
You also can't own, like, chinchillas?
Yeah, you can.
What? No. Okay, maybe I'm forgetting what a chinchilla is.
Yeah, they sell those at pet stores all the time.
Oh, no, I love these things. Never mind. I'm thinking about those weird bug
eyes. I'd be petting the one at Petland all day.
You do that?
Yeah, they're so cute. They're nice.
They are cute. They look like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just think these. What was the one? We saw this one that was like a bunny mixed with like a marmot.
Yeah.
And it would look like it was sleepy. I don't remember what they were called.
I think it starts with an S. I don't remember.
I'm just goop. Oh, a southern... Vichaska.
I want to see. Wait.
This is it. The sleepy rodent.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like. What are they? A southern Vichaska, a rodent in the family. Oh, it's in the chinchilla family.
Mm-hmm.
Is found in Argentina, Bolivia, and Peru. What about Peru? Did we learn over the break, Haley? What did we learn while those songs were playing? What did you tell me about Peru and a band from
Peru? If you depends on who you ask, punk would have originated in the 60s in Peru.
Lima, Peru, with the band... You want to try to pronounce it?
No.
I think it's pronounced Los Secos.
Yes.
There are this...
And there's two others, I forget, but a lot of Peru bands actually started it, because they're ahead of everyone, but nobody cared, and I don't think anyone really cared about the music scene out there. So whoever did it in England first got the credit.
Yes, Los Secos is a rock band from 1964 Peru, and they're credited as being pioneers of punk rock, but because they're not an English band, and because there was less of a scene, I guess, maybe, I don't know, probably not.
I was thinking about this, and I think I started grade 10. I was writing an essay.
I remember you telling me about this.
Figures, and I was doing Sid and Nancy at the time, because I had like this obsession. I had this obsession with them. Like, I don't know, I think their dynamic was really interesting. They're like my Kurt and Courtney.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was looking at that, and so I was looking into the music also, and I figured that where was I going?
Didn't you do a whole project in high school about the birth of punk? Like, you did, like, a...
Yeah, I did, like, a thing of that, but then I ended up writing a lot about Sid and Nancy. I'm not sure why. I was just really drawn to their relationship. And I think that she actually was not as evil as everyone says she was.
I don't even know the story behind that. What is it? Like, what do people say
happened? Well,
people,
depending on who you ask, they say that she was the one that got Sid into heroin and stuff, but it really wasn't. A common theme you notice in these stories is that people treat the male like they are helpless and they don't know anything, but he knew what he was doing.
People
did
that with Kurt Cobain.
Yes. That's the thing too with Kurt and Courtney is, yes, I believe, and it's a fact, that both were ill and both were addicts.
Like,
but
played off each other.
Yes. And Kurt was not innocent at all.
Yeah, I hate those. Like, even those Courtney killed Kurt.
Yeah.
Conspiracies are, like, actually gross.
Yeah.
That part's disgusting. But even just the treatment mm-hmm. of... That's always a thing in history, too, by the way.
The treatment of it. Ooh, I was so happy when Dave Grohl got exposed. His treatment of Courtney pissed me off.
I actually don't know the lore there. Oh, what,
they beefed with each other all the time.
I know they beefed over, like, rights,
you know,
like Nirvana rights.
Yeah, that too. No, what would she say? I think it was an interview with Howard Stern when the drummer starts to sing, run. When the drummer starts singing, go hide in your house.
Okay, Dave Grohl's a good singer.
No, it's referring to the fact that when the drummer becomes a singer, he gets exposed as a piece of shit.
You can't
oh,
say
sorry,
that.
I can't swear. I forgot you couldn't swear on your block. But
you were never able to swear on your block, by
I was.
The way. Go ask, when this show is over, go ask Jared and Michael if you could. I asked them the other day.
And what did they say?
No. And they said you just thought you did.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I did. And no one stopped me. So
that was this week's Album Authority. Thank you all for tuning in. We are ending today's episode with Tired Cossack's new single, Mace, which does have an explicit swear in it, which I will be attempting to bleep out. Thank you all very much. Come back next week for another album. I have no idea what it is. And please tune into the greatest show in probably Canada, maybe all the world. I'm trying to be humble now. Apparently, I have some sort of BPD problem. It's made up. Liberals are making up all of these mental illnesses that aren't really real, and I'm really just sick. I'm trying to take this...
Opera, theater, orchestra, dance. Live arts can move you like nothing else. And there's no better time to rediscover the romance, embrace the emotion, and reignite your passion for the spectacular. Join the audience and experience the drama, the music, and the people. Come to life. For events near you, visit explorelivearts.ca. Supported by Prairies Economic Development Canada.
Black Market Provisions is a Winnipeg store like no other. They offer delicious, homemade, ready-to-eat food, giftware, and all-around cute and rad things you need to have in your home. Their curated collection ranges from housewares, pantry provisions, greeting cards, trinkets and treasures, and homemade food options ranging from soups and salads to cookies and ice cream. Bottom line is, they love food, feeding people, and finding fun things to share with folks. Owned by couple Angela and Oana, Black Market Provisions is located at 550 Osborne Street. You can order online for next day pickup or delivery from Tuesday to Saturday. Visit their website at blackmarketwpg.ca to place an order online today.
Here's your friendly reminder that the UMSU Service Center is here to help you with all of your Winnipeg transit related needs. If you're a new student and need to get a post-secondary PEGO card set up, we're the place to go. We'll get you set up quickly and help you save 20% versus a regular adult full fare pass. Lost your PEGO card? Don't sweat. We can get squared away on that as well. We're currently open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. Come visit us in room 101 on the main floor of UMSU University Center or at our Bannatyne location in the Brody Atrium, which is open from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. If you've got student-related Winnipeg transit questions, we've got all the answers. Call us at 204-474-8211 or email us at umsu@umsu.ca.
A candle makes no sound.